You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Well, you saw one, you saw them all.
Oh, God.
You might say this movie spiraled out of control.
Oh, two for two.
And wait, hold on. Something's coming in on our other feed here. What's going on?
Wait, what is it?
Hello, critics. I want to play a game. In 3 minutes, poison gas will be released from your microphones. The same ones you use to spit venom at horror movies you turn your noses up to. It is up to you to decide if this is your last review. Every week you meet up to condemn innocent films to rotten scores and unfair grades. Today it will be you who will be reviewed. You have 2 minutes to give Spiral a positive review. Live or die. Make your choice.
That might actually be less scary than the actual serial killer voice in this movie.
Absolutely. I was wondering, like, did they get Paul Dano to do that? Because that's what it sounded like.
It just sounds like some 20-year-old college white kid who's doing it, just like, hey, man, I'm going to kill you.
I want to play a game. Live or die.
It seems like Adrian owns a Scare Bear.
Oh, hey, y'all. Sorry I'm late. Sorry I'm late to the review that I'm supposed to be a part of.
I think the serial killer voice performer was actually the lady captain. I think that was an intentional misdirect.
Was it really?
Oh, I didn't look at the credits. That would be
cheap. Didn't bother to look at anything after this film.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, just from what I've been hearing, that I think we're going to disagree on this movie.
And I have a feeling that I really don't understand why you would disagree with us on this movie. Hi, everybody. This is Spiral from the Book of Saw. Ooh. This is the 9th movie in the Saw franchise, which is tried so hard to rebuild. Yeah, well, because technically you had the 7 first Saw movies, then you had Jigsaw, and then this is the 9th film of the Saw franchise.
I want to preface this to the audience. I am not a Saw fan. I know, like, the bare minimum of Saw, so excuse me for my ignorance. Horror fans, do not beat me up.
I know only a little bit about Saw, you know? I've seen, like, chunks of various movies, and I know all of the really insane twists from the previous films. But I was just morbidly curious to go check this one. I'm like, okay, a Saw movie with Chris Rock in the lead role and Samuel Jackson and okay.
That's it.
I'm Adrian El Critico, and I want to say that I also really not a fan of Saw. I saw the first one and I thought this was kick ass. And then I think I saw like one of the later ones and I didn't like it. I saw Jigsaw and I thought it was boring. And now there's Spiral, and I kind of really enjoyed myself while watching this movie. I thought it was a fun-ass time.
My name's Matt, and I'm just here to give Chris Rock the Michael Shannon Scenery Devouring Award for Dramatic Performance.
I am Jamarco Shaw, and I'm here. I was hoping to come in and just do a whole bit of Chris Rock stand-up, but he did that for me, so.
Yeah. It's cool, we get.
That was good. That is a good joke, though.
Like, yes.
And I'm Justin Zarian, and I am here to talk about this movie because, all right, so this is one of the, I guess, bigger releases coming out this week.
Yeah. Even though,
you know, I don't know, because there's a lot of big things that came out. Like, Castlevania came out this week. We got a couple big movies on HBO Max coming out. And I don't know, it feels weird to have a Saw movie in May. Of all things.
Summertime.
Like, the most scary time of the year.
Hey, kids out of school. Let's get some masks and seats.
Did this miss last Halloween?
I think it did.
This was actually supposed to come out in May of last year. It was always going to be, like, an early summer release or a spring release. Which, yeah, it is kind of weird. But I think it kind of works out because I see this less of a horror movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is more of, like, a very R-rated, like, Law and Order episode,
yeah.
Or like,
oh yeah,
any kind of police procedural.
Man,
it just happens to have gore and horror.
If Ice-T would have showed up, that would have been awesome.
Well, that'd be a good point to segue into the plot. Except you kind of explained it right there, because yeah, it's, you know, when you think about the plot of this film, let me just say the actual plot is you got Chris Rock as Zeke, who's a high-ranking detective in the police agency. His dad previously was the chief of the department, and you know, at some point early in the film, a fellow cop gets murdered by a new Jigsaw copycat killer. And it's up to them to go about and hunt down this guy and save the day and kind of stuff. And it's weird because when you say that's a Saw film, it's only a Saw film for maybe like 10, 15 minutes of the actual film.
Exactly.
It's a pretty straightforward cop. It's more Seven than it is Saw.
You took the words out of my mouth, Justin. I'm like, oh shit, I'm watching a Seven reboot, basically. Just cranked up to the max, but, you know, minus the charm of Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman.
Right.
What is missing from this that is traditionally in the previous Saw installments is the set piece that plays that pits people against each other.
Yeah.
Every trap in this is like the first trap from a previous installment. Like they're all man versus self. Do I have the guts to tear the thing out and grab the key traps?
Because police are awful people. Allegedly.
This is the ninth Saw film, technically, but you also don't have to see any of them if you're, like, thinking about, like, oh, am I going to miss anything? You may miss a few references. In fact, at a certain point, it almost seems like this kind of wants to reboot the series because they're kind of going to the basics of the first Saw, the traps of the first Saw. But as someone who is not a fan of the series, I think it was Chris Rock, and just kind of how bloody and really vicious the traps were.
It was gnarly.
I'm locked in. I think this is kind of crazy. This feels like really, really delicious junk food. Like, I know it's bad for me, but I'm gonna eat a couple. I'm gonna eat a couple gorditas. I don't care.
I had some technical problems, like fingers deglove before they come off, right?
Yeah. For me personally, I would almost agree with that. Like, there are some very gory moments in this film. Like, I would say the peak of the gore was the very first kill, you know, where that guy just, you know, they effed that dude up pretty badly throughout this. But
yeah,
honestly, I would say the traps in this one, having seen some of the best traps in the previous Saw films, they're all kind of bland, I would say. Like you said, it's the trap that would open a movie, except a huge problem that killed the suspense for a lot of this for me is that there's no way to win at these traps. Like, almost every trap is designed where, no matter what happens,
you're getting fucked up regardless.
It's like what Matt said. It's like, there's no debate into the situation. Like, even if they did the alternative route, they would bleed out almost in every single situation.
They're definitely designed with tight timing. Like, the person would have to do it immediately. Mm-hmm. And they've already, by the time they've really figured the situation out, there's practically no time for them to make the decision.
Yeah. And they try to do those, like, oh, here's a clue where you do the wordplay and you figure out the trap. And it's like, yeah, but by the time you figure it out, oh, you're dead.
Although I will say that they do live in the Saw universe where this guy did this for a decade. So you'd think they would have, like right next to their body cam would be a jigsaw button.
Right. Is there no, like, jigsaw protection clause? Like, there's no files? Like, all right.
Yeah, they would just slap the jigsaw button. And like the signal would go out over GPS and cut the power to that block.
There you go. You
know? That's kind of what made this movie fun for me, is the fact that, I mean, I don't think we touched on this before recording, but this is a ACAB Saw, which is like something I never thought we were gonna get. This is Saw with politics, and if you want to see dirty cops getting killed, hey, this might just be the movie for you. And I find it funny that when they realize, like, oh, this is like a jigsaw killer, every one of them there's a certain part where, like, each of the cops goes like, oh fuck, I can't believe this is what we're dealing with. And I just found that really I'm gonna say entertaining throughout this review, because that's what I found this movie.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Chris Rock is talking to the head of the department, and they're literally just saying exposition to one another to a point where it's funny.
Isn't all their just conversation expositions?
Like, Chris Rock is like, I'm one of the best cops in this. Remember, I got shot, even though my dad's the head and he was a great cop. And all, it's just, it's hilarious. This movie is hilarious.
Point A, point B, point C.
And I feel like it knows exactly what it's doing. It's Saw. It's you're either gonna love it or hate it. And I didn't love this, but for what Saw is, I just found this as one of the most watchable.
I'm gonna pick it up from you, Adrian. When it came to performances, because I think I was telling my dad I was watching, and he was like, "Chris Rock doing a Saw movie? How's that gonna work?" And when I first got the news, I think everybody's kind of had a collective, huh? So I had no idea going in what to expect. But Chris Rock, I gotta say, given what the material gave him, you know, held his own. Like, even though he's the best cop in the league, he's still Chris Rock. He's still cracking jokes.
It's about 60% where he's a competent dramatic actor. But then anytime he has to get more than just, you know, dramatic seriousness, when he has to, like, yell or raise his voice, that's when the Chris Rock-isms start to come out. Yeah. You know, like the bug-eyed looks and the higher-pitched voices.
In the chat we have, I said a couple times, it seems like Chris Rock's going for, like, anime levels.
Yeah, just chewing scenery. Like, just devouring. Like, let me act.
Yeah. Well, then you have, like, there's a plot point involving Samuel L. Jackson where you just don't... If it had been Chief Shaw and it happened to Chief Shaw, you'd just be like, oh, someone should do something about this. But when it's Samuel L. Jackson, you're just like, ah, he'll be fine.
It's Sam Jackson.
Take care of himself.
I think he was there for 3 days of shooting for this whole movie because he's like so underutilized.
And even then, it's just like, I was saying like in a chat with my friend, I'm like, Sam Jackson's just like hot sauce when it comes to movies. Like, you can just put him on anything and it will just make it the most blandest properties even manageable. So like with this.
Oh, sure.
So with this, like, every scene he was in, I'm like, you know what? He was having fun. I'm having fun.
I loved the flashback.
With the stash?
Yes.
Incredible.
The stash. I was going to say.
That's another thing. Like, there's no way they don't think that's hilarious, because it's hilarious. It's a fake-ass mustache on Samuel Jackson.
Chris Rock had a goatee.
They give Chris Rock a backwards cap. How is that not? How do you not want to go see that?
They even shoehorn a New Jack City joke in. What more could you want?
There's a lot of jokes throughout this. Like, I mean, especially ones that directly call out stuff from the Saw franchise. Where it's just
a lot
like,
of winks, a lot of,
yeah.
This movie desperately needed a bit of Tobin Bell. And when I thought that, they're like, well, we got his picture. Is that okay?
Well, I thought the lanky guy in the beginning that's dressed as Uncle Sam in the parade... I think it was deliberate that he physically looked like Tobin Bell and from behind.
Oh. See, I thought that was just a reference to The Purge. It looks like one of The Purge bad guys.
I thought they wanted you to think Tobin Bell was going to be in it for a few minutes at least.
Yeah. But... Well, Tobin Bell would have actually probably improved this movie, because I got to say, this new copycat Jigsaw killer.
Spiral.
They suck. They suck so bad. They're not scary. Even once you know who the Jigsaw Killer is, which we're not going to spoil it, but you can easily figure it out by the 30-minute mark. Just say that.
Well, it is a little bit like Scream finally reveal.
It so
and you're like,
is.
You're like, it's just him?
You?
It's him?
Oh,
any
come
of
on.
These people could have just beat him down.
I could take him.
There's no way he's walking up to people front to front and putting the knife in their front like that. Whatever, Shaggy.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. It's like, you're just never intimidated by this guy. Like, the traps themselves are scary just by, you know, tradition of Saw being scary in that kind of sense. But it's just like, even with, like you said, his actual voice recording is just some nerdy white dude speaking just like, I'm going to kill you. Get ready, because I'm ready to...
I like that of it. Okay, any other Saw movie, it's always that gruff, like, do you want to play a game type of voice. This one was just like an automated computer voice. And there's something about that reminds me of, like, YouTube conspiracy videos that you look at, like, 3 a.m. It's like, that's kind of spooky. I kind of dug. I dug it.
It makes sense. He was delivering his clues on a hard drive, on, like, a little flash drive. So I was like, oh, yeah, this total nerd.
Which, for the record, you never just plug in, just like you'd never just open those boxes like they do.
Yeah, you want to give your computer malware? What are you doing?
These cops are terrible. They're all awful.
They deserved it.
I actually figured that was how he got in the computer later, but never mind.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
But I will say that is an element of, like, truth in fiction, because, like, real serial killers tend to actually be pretty lame. Like BTK is just this dude that you would never, ever, like, if you got sucker punched by BTK in a nightclub, you'd be like, I quit. I'm never leaving my house again. He's just this little dude that sounds like a Midwestern, you know, like a like a guy that you got cut off in traffic, and he's like, "I'll get you, fiddly kids, your little dog."
I'm like, "Oh, it's Jesse Eisenberg."
That would have been a great reveal. You know,
I want to play a game.
In the pro column, right? I like that this got back to the core idea of Saw, which is that there is some sort of morality play involved, which makes it distinct from a random slasher.
It's the most political Saw since the sixth movie, for sure. Yeah. So,
which Saw had in like the first two movies, and then the third one, which I call Saw of Tarsus because they took the message and ran away with it, became just a question of just like feeding the people to the traps on a conveyor belt. And even if they did the right thing, they still got picked off most of the time.
Well, funny you mentioned that, because this director who directed this movie is the guy who did Saw 2, 3, and 4, Darren Lynn Bozeman.
Hmm. Oh.
Which, Darren Lynn Bozeman is, I just gotta say, he's not a great director, because I've seen some of his other stuff he's done that's not Saw, like that freaking Abattoir movie, which was terrible. And
that ticked me off because it was such a good idea.
It is. It was such a good idea that he just had no idea what to do with. And then he did this movie, Repo, the Genetic Opera, which was...
Oh, that was him too? Oh,
yeah, same director. Yeah, that's a weird one.
That's every, like, Hot Topic.
Yeah, every goth chick I tried to crush on.
Yeah. So he's trying to get back... Like you said, he's trying to get back to the roots of what made Saw great, I guess. I don't know. Like it's one of the things where it's competently made, it's decently shot. They brought back the dude who's pretty much done all the music for every Saw movie again, you know, Charlie Clouser. It's like, okay, yeah, that's the theme, the one that...
Yeah, they play the thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I had no overall heartburn with it, but the police stuff between the kills is so, like... Like, it was literally, like, 22 Jump Street or the new 21, you know, where they're, like, they're parodying the idea of, like, the chief yelling and the...
It's so like cliche.
It is so pat that it was, God. Like, a sketch.
I don't think Darren Lynn Bozeman's ever talked to a cop before. Like, having seen his other films, I don't think he understands how cops and him. Police work.
Hey, lucky guy. Lucky guy.
I don't know. I don't know what experiences you guys have been having. The last cop I pulled over or pulled me over changed my tire for me.
Oh, wow.
Over a cop? Oh, wow.
No, a cop? Wow. White privilege. It's amazing.
Yeah, I flagged him down. I was like, I need someone to serve for a minute here.
You know, even aside from the political stuff, which honestly to me, that stuff was just totally crowbarred in and wasn't all that interesting.
What would have changed it would be if Chris Rock had gotten fired for the incident earlier that they allude to.
Oh.
Because the fact that the protagonists are all also good cops nuts the politics a little.
Well, but that's the problem is that they try to make up for that by making Chris Rock just a total dickwad in this movie. Because it's like you get it that he's got a reason to be angry at everyone else, but just every other scene, like you said, he's just chewing the scenery, just like, "You guys never liked me. Oh, man, I'm going to kill you. You guys are traitors. You guys are backstabbers and everything."
But Justin, he's a hothead. He doesn't play by the rules. He's a loose cannon.
Yeah, he's Chris Tucker from Rush Hour.
I don't need a partner.
You go from like when Chris Rock is on and he's being funny and he's being nice to people and he's being like kind of flirting with the captain. That stuff feels like stage Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when he's acting, he's like super like he's tense in his shoulders. Like he's like, "I am proving that I can be serious.
I am not Pootie Tang."
You know?
This is my acting face.
That's actually what I thought, is like this is all happening in the mind of the guy from New Jack City. He just
this
got
is Mookie's crack dream.
Oh, that'd be appropriate, actually. But we should start winding down to final thoughts, because I...
Yes,
you know,
yes, yes.
I'll just start off here by saying this, that compared to other horror movies I've seen even this year, I wasn't really angry at this movie at all, except for the very ending. I will talk a little bit more about that, but for most of this movie, I thought it was just okay. You know, I didn't dislike it. I even found some parts where the parts where I didn't have to close my eyes with some of the torture scenes I enjoyed. Even though this is trying to go back to basics with Saw, it's also part of the problem that when you go back to basics with Saw, you remember, oh yeah, the first Saw movie is actually pretty boring. It's for huge chunks of it, you know?
It's a slow burn.
Yeah, and this one has some very slow burn moments, even though it's always focused on the plot for the bulk of the film, and yet there's just these huge stretches where, like you said, with the cop dialogue and the going to meet the widows and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it for the most part, and I thought that it was actually, even though I thought the twist was really dumb too, it was building to an interesting climax. And then the way it ended was kind of the thing that killed it a little bit for me, because, I'm sorry, it was really dumb. I thought that was just a really lame way to end it. And even worse, it just ends abruptly. Like, they try to do a huge callback to a thing, like a very specific thing that happened in a previous movie, and then it's just over. It's like, oh, I guess we're going to come back for the sequel, which they say they're going to make Saw 10 at some point. So. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't know. I really wanted to enjoy this movie, and at the end, I'm just like, well, like I said, I joked about earlier, it's just another Saw film. So I'm going to give this 5 out of 10 very ominous tattoos.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Spiral, : The Book of Saw. That's all right. You know, like I said earlier, I'm not the biggest Saw aficionado. I think I watched like the first 3 or 4, and I was like, I get the premise. I'm cool with it. Chris Rock was the thing that really pulled me into this, and what he did with the script and, you know, his attempts at dramatic acting, they get the job done for the most part. Like I said, Sam Jackson, you know, what can we say about Sam Jackson besides, come on to Sam Jackson, he's the man. Whatever he touches, yeah. I'm going to have fun with it. So, shout out to Sam Jackson.
And everyone else was also in the movie, too.
And everyone else who isn't as big as a name, especially Max Minghella, who plays the rookie. I hope I said his name right. You know him from The Social Network and all
The 37-year-old rookie.
Yes, the 37-year-old kid. Well, yeah.
It takes a minute to get on Homicide.
Yeah. Pretty much.
True.
So he was fun.
Actually, I don't think I've ever met a homicide detective that was under 40.
How did he get the job? I want that prequel. But yeah, he was fun in his part. But you don't care about any of that. You want to see the traps. And the traps, like they said, are, you know, pretty run of the mill. Pretty, you know, amateur hour compared to what we saw in the last 6 or 7 Saw films. I like body horror in chunks. I don't like it like when it just stays there. So I have to turn away at certain stuff. Like, oh, I did not need to see that. But
yeah, that bit with the tongue in the first one was pretty rough.
Yeah, the finger one got me. That was when I was like, oh, yeah. So there's some pretty gnarly kills. If you're a gore hound, you'll be happy. Have fun with it, I guess. I don't know what your standards are on Saw. Like, I don't see like Harry Potter MCU level debates on what's the best Saw. So I guess you guys are chilling. With that being said, I'm going to give Spiral : The Book of Saw. A nice little, you know, 5.5 wax melted faces.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was, remember that one? Yeah.
That one got me because that was a horrible choice. That was a horrible choice where you might just go, I pick death. Background, I live in Utah.
Hey!
Right? Shout out to Utah. Now,
most people that hear that, like, you know, in the old Orgasmo movie, that you say that and they go, I'm sorry. One cool thing about Utah is that the theater audiences going to an R-rated movie there is still like a rite of passage for half the teenagers. Like, I went to Green Room in a theater in Utah, and the scene where they have to operate on the big skinhead guy, it walked a whole group of like 20 high school seniors.
Awesome.
And I was like, awesome, you know? So I have to say, if this was a theatrical release and you can go and you can, you know, you want a horror movie to scare your girl into your lap or vice versa,
there you go. Perfect.
If you take that big lady from Resident Evil, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you fit in her lap.
All right, you nerds.
This will for sure do the job of a horror movie. It has scares, it has gore. The police procedural, like, I'm torn on it because, like, it almost hit the point of satire, and if they'd have chosen that, or if they'd have reined it in a little, either would have improved the film, I think.
Yeah.
Everybody in it is competent. There's nobody where, like, you don't believe it. And I will say, in the pro, like, if you are a Saw nerd and you want a throwback Saw movie, they do bring back the moral choice element, and they do bring back the fact that, like, if you view, like, the first Saw is just a really gory parlor mystery, right? Like, it's essentially an Agatha Christie thing that's gross. And they bring that back a little bit because, in hindsight, everything you need is there. And I don't like a procedural or a murder mystery where they hide something from you, where the reveal is something the audience could never have known.
All right.
And so the pieces are there. If you're that guy that plays those click on the items mysteries on your phone, right? Everything's there.
It's not hard to figure out.
I can't hate it too much. It didn't have any huge problems. And I think it was a budgetary constraint. The traps were just less elaborate. Yeah. They were pretty gory. And they were bad things. Like, if you put yourself in the headspace, if I wake up with that thing on my tongue.
Yeah.
Like, they're still pretty effective set pieces. So I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 fingers that probably would have degloved instead.
Yeah.
But that would be even worse.
You know, it's funny you say that the budgetary constraint, because honestly, this might be the most expensive Saw movie for me.
Shut up.
It ranges between $20 to $40 million. So I have to assume most of that budget went to getting Chris Rock and Samuel Jackson.
Yes. I was going to say, they're not going to these tracks. They're not going to this
movie.
I think y'all are on some bullshit.
I, as I mentioned, I'm not a fan of Saw, but when I heard Chris Rock went into Lionsgate to pitch a Saw movie.
Oh, he pitched it?
Yeah, this
and then
is his baby.
Chris Rock is going to star in it, and Samuel Jackson is going to be the dad, and all this shit. It's like, this is fascinating to me. Like, what in the world of junk food cinema is going to happen with this? So I have been kind of excited for this, and what I got was a Saw movie, and for me, Saw is like a soap opera with gore. It's something that's so cheesy and digestible that it's fun to watch with a group. It's fun to watch with a friend. I happen to be able to watch this with my friend Jeff. Shout out, We Be Watching Films. Go check him out. But we were just having a blast laughing at things that are hopefully meant to be funny. Like I mentioned, that scene of exposition is just like so on the nose that I found it hilarious. Chris Rock's performance is so like, it's akin to any performance of a Saw lead. Like, everyone just seems like they're trying to overact. And I found it very, very entertaining. I was never bored. I thought the traps were, although not the most elaborate, really painful. Like, there's one that has to do with a spinal cord severing, which is like, oh my God, the amount of times I looked away during that one. So I did find this to be a vicious movie. And I think it's hilarious that it even tries to have a political message. Like this, considering that Chris Rock is the one who kind of pitched the story, it really seemed like he was watching Saw the pig mask and was like, you know what? I have an idea. Ding! And if that sounds fun to you, you're gonna dig this. I think as a horror movie, it's effectively gory, and although none of the jump scares made me jump, it definitely made my friend jump a bunch.
I was not scared once.
So I'm coming.
I think y'all are going to have a good time if you see this in theaters even. Do I think it's a great movie? No, but I think it's a really good Saw movie, and for that, I'm going to give it 3.5 Pulp Fiction references. I don't know if anybody caught that one. When they go into the evidence locker, the door that's like a vault door, it comes from Jules and Vincent, like a company called Jules and Vincent, which I thought was kind of
cool. Now I want to end it like the guy from Dark Knight. No more dead cops.
Also, this movie definitely broke the N-word limit at some point, because I'm just like, oh, they're just going to straight up say that word a ton of times in this film. Okay.
Yeah, you know, because cops.
Yeah. No, this is Chris Rock.
Chris Rock and Sam Jackson just riffing. What script? We're the Saw movie, motherfucker. Have some fun.
Well, you gotta understand that both of them get a royalty on it. Like, every time someone says that word, Chris Rock, Sam Jackson, and the Pryor estate each get a dime.
That's awesome.